With NFR Extra, we're going to take you behind the scenes in a way you've never heard before. Every 2 weeks, you're going to hear personal conversations with the icons and personalities that make up the world's richest and most prestigious rodeo. NFR Extra. All dirt, all rodeo, all year.
This is episode 7 of NFR Extra. I am your host, Nevada Caldwell.
And this is Bo Gardner.
And this was, as usual, we had some great content, let's say guests. This was a good one.
And can we say maybe the overall theme was rodeo?
Yeah, and you can add like some subheads there to Reno.
Reno.
College National Finals Rodeo. And Nevada. We catch up with rodeo announcer and Wrangler National Finals Rodeo General Manager of Production, Boyd Paul Hemus, on Bo's Bull.
There you go. We also had an opportunity to speak with Mr. Dakota Eldridge. Can we say Mr. Consistent also?
Yeah, absolutely.
He is from Elko, Nevada, two-time NFR average title holder with 5 Wrangler NFR qualifications. And George Combe expands on the 100th anniversary of Reno Rodeo.
Hi, I'm Sean Davis, and you're listening to NFR Extra.
Hi, I'm world champion bull rider Sage Kimsey, and you're listening to NFR Extra.
Hi, I'm Cody Wright, two-time world champion saddle bronc rider, and this is NFR Extra.
This is Bo's Bull, the rodeo news of the week.
You know, this guy that we have for Bo's Bull, pretty important guy in the rodeo business, very important to what we do here when we're talking about the NFR. He's been elevated recently. He's taking on a big task, filling in some shoes, boots, that, you know, I don't think a lot of people would be privy to jumping into this situation.
He called it a part-time job.
Yeah. His full-time is rodeo announcing. We're talking about Boyd Paul Hemus, sharing some things that what's going on right now prior to the Cowboy Christmas getting started and what's going on at the college finals and getting ready for, well, the NFR.
The road to the NFR. How are these points and money? How's it all summing up?
Yeah, and just did kind of a pretty cool prediction. Boyd back in March talked about a few things that would change because of the additional dollars from the American and Rodeo Houston. And he was right. And we're going to talk about that right now. Episode 7.
Number 7.
Oh, my goodness. And a return of Mr. Boyd. Welcome to the show, Paul Hemus. Where are you at right now?
Well, first of all, I want to say that in Las Vegas, the number 7 is very lucky. So I feel very fortunate to be on podcast.
That was by choice. So,
yes.
Yeah. Well, I wish I could choose the numbers that show up on the slot machine when I'm out there, because you and I wouldn't be talking. I'd be in Miami, right, with my new friend.
I'd be keeping my money in the pocket.
So I'm in Casper, Wyoming at the College National Finals Rodeo. Nice. That's where I'm at.
Nice. And who's there with you?
Yes.
Do we have another friend that is there?
Yeah, I've got Andy Silas with me here. Yeah. Also, I've got Justin Rumford working the barrel.
Nice. No. So he's not a friend.
Obviously, I'm having a good – when I'm not talking about contestants and livestock, I'm having a good time otherwise.
There you go.
Nice.
Good folks.
Who's behind the turntables there with you? Who's spinning the music?
Jill Franzen's playing the music.
Oh, nice. Okay, yep. Cool. She's great. Yep.
So it's almost
Well, actually, her last name's Loden now.
Oh, yeah?
But nice. For me, she will always be a Franzen, right? I mean,
so it's kind of like your Corpus Christi crew minus Mr. Hambone.
Yes. Yeah. It's good to be minus Benji. Hambone.
Oh, Benji, yeah.
Yeah, it's good to be. Do you guys know that Hambone has impregnated his wife?
Yes.
You know that?
Yes,
how
we do.
Exciting. Yes, now we're glad everybody else knows.
Yeah, and they did an ultrasound, and there's a stem on the apple.
What?
So,
wow.
Yeah, fantastic. It's going to be a boy.
Oh, no.
Nice.
Yeah.
Stem on the apple.
That's public speaking 101.
Well,
I know we're on the internet. And you got to choose to listen to us so we can say whatever we want to
true.
Say
without being. Hey, Hambone did provide us some blooper beep, so we can cover some things up if we have to.
Well,
yeah. Well, that's good. That's good. That's good. So get ready. If the stem on the apple isn't appropriate, go ahead.
So, okay, College National Finals Rodeo, obviously in full swing, and you're right in the middle of it, as you just alluded to. How do you go about preparing for these finals comparatively the way you approach the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo? I mean, obviously completely different assets, but you're still talking. You're the center of, let's just say, the attention of information during these finals. What's the difference in preparation and – you know, how do you go about doing this?
Well, there's a couple of different things that are different in Nevada. I mean, for example, at the NFR, you got the same 15 contestants 10 nights in a row, okay? And there's an ebb and flow each night to who's, you know, especially in those closer events like the steer wrestling, there's always a nail biter. And so, you know, you've got the same 15 guys each night. Here at the college finals, predominantly it's just the third round of a four-round rodeo. So two rounds are in the books. The third round is going with a chance to ride in the championships, which is the fourth round on Saturday night, so it's the top 12.
There you go.
So typically, if I'm working the NFR, prior to ever arriving to the NFR, I'm going to do at least a day, an eight-hour day's worth of research on the 15 contestants in each contest. I'm going to find out when they joined the PRCA. I'll find out their age, their height, their weight. I'm going to find out where they went to college. I'm going to have their career earnings written down. I'm going to have the major events they won that year. I'm going to have some bio on them, what their family is, what their hobbies are, so that throughout the course of the rodeo, let's take a guy that's doing really well. I probably won't get into that biographical information very much because I'll be talking about how much he's won, you know, where he sits in the world standings. But if I'm in round six and I've got a guy that hasn't won a penny, he's had a real tough finals, you don't really want to say, well, his horse isn't working or, you know, he's injured and he's just not riding as well, so he hasn't won a penny. You might want to tell him his favorite movie is Lonesome Dove. He's got a wife named Susie and two kids at home. And, you know, so you got the same 15 guys each night. You know, you really want to go in there loaded for bear with your research and then try to keep up as the rodeo goes along. After you see a draw, okay, has he had this horse before? What have they done on this horse? Is this one of the better horses out? So you'll be more timely with the race for the world championship. Here, I will give the NRA, the National Inclusion Rodeo Association, they do a great job of acquiring biographical information on the students. So I know whether they're a sophomore or junior or senior. This will be on a sheet. I know what their major is. That'll be on the sheet. I know what they've done in the first two go-arounds. That'll be on the sheet. So as far as spending 3 to 4 hours a day on a day sheet, that's not quite as necessary.
Right.
Okay.
Got it.
And you've got a different group of contestants each night because it's all third-round action. They're from all the 11 different regions across the country, from a variety of different institutions of higher learning, you know, and they have team competition. So there's other things to address, you know, other than just the biographical or what they need to do to take the lead. And but we still touch on those things, obviously. We're still going to say, okay, if she's going to take the lead in the goat time, she's got to tie this goat in 7 seconds or faster. You also have contests, obviously, goat tying here that you don't have at the NFR, breakaway roping, things of that nature. But so it's similar, but it's different in substantial ways as well.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I just want to touch on that, and this is giving a lot of credit to you guys, you, Tallman, the way you guys talk, we don't, the hard work behind the scenes, like we don't see all that research because of how naturally you guys talk about things. That's why I think that question's, that's why we pose that question, because it's just how naturally you bring things together. Obviously, people don't realize there's a lot of work behind the scenes to kind of fill up your brain with these contestants and kind of all the paths that are crossed.
I think that's what separates, you know, be careful how I say this, but I think that separates announcers. Okay?
Sure does.
If you make it look easy, and you communicate you know, the guy's family or his hobbies or the name of his horse or what he's done in such a way that it doesn't look like it's laborious and that you're reading it off of a sheet, then that is a much more friendly way to communicate with the fan, like you're talking to them personally.
Everyday conversation. Right.
Yeah.
Correct. When you find announcers that have to read it off the sheet, that they have to read it off the sheet, and it sounds like they're talking at you rather than to you, then that is not near as, trying to find the right word, is as near as comfortable type of communication. As if, I always tell young announcers when they say, hey, give me a tip, my first tip is talk to the audience like you're talking to your mom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You wouldn't look down at a sheet of paper and go, okay, Dakota Eldridge is a native of Nevada. You know, he won the Rookie of the Year. He made it to the finals every year, won the NFR average twice. Before he tore up his knee last year, you'd go, hey, Mom, this Dakota Eldridge is a cool guy. You know, first of all, he won the Rookie of the Year, and he's about to go to his sixth consecutive NFR when he tore his knee up, Mom. I'm telling you, this guy had to rehab his butt off. You know, and so if you're talking to the fans like they're your mom, then you're going to be much more comfortable in your discourse. You're not going to have to try to sound like a rodeo announcer. You listen to announcers sometimes and they try to sound like what they think a rodeo announcer should sound like, rather than just talking to the people about who it is that's up and what they need to do in order to advance their cause.
Yep.
Yeah, no doubt.
We have heard. And another separation from announcers are those that have the ability to predict, right, what could happen.
Yes.
And back in March, we had a conversation with Mr. Boyd Pohemus about the impact of the new dollars from Rodeo Houston and the American, and how what effect those could have on the contestants to the road to the NFR. And Boyd, I mean, you were spot on, sir.
Yeah, seriously.
Spot on.
Casey Field is definitely a good example there.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't, you know, I'm not Nostradamus here because, I mean, the bottom line is there's just not as much money in the rodeos in April and May that there are in January, February, and March. And when you add the American and you add Houston's dollars that weren't previously sanctioned dollars, or the points didn't count toward the NFR.
Right.
And if you just went to Prodeo.com and you went across the top of the leaderboard in every event in the world standings, I mean, you're looking at guys that did really well at the, I mean, we're 75 days later, right?
Right.
Austin ended the end of March. So we're 30 days in April, we're 31 in May, and we're 15 or close to that in June now. So we're 75 days later, and the top five in the world standings has not changed because those guys have so much money. And in have decent purses, but comparatively speaking to what you can win in January, February, and March, it pales in comparison. So you get out there with those new dollars and guys that did well. Again, Casey Field, bareback riding. I mean, he got mucked out at Austin by Killer B.
Yep.
I mean, life-threatening injury. Bruised his brain.
Yes.
But he had, after winning Houston, doing well at the American, he sat home for 60, 75 days, and guess where he is in the world? He's still got, he's 115, Orrin Larson's at 95. He's still got a $20,000 lead. He's the first finishing the goal, the NFR lead, over his number two guy, okay? And now when you go after five or six and you get down there, the numbers get a little bit closer. So like 15th, Stephen Peebles is at 38. 14th, R.C. Landingham is at 39. 13th, Wyatt Denning's at 39. 12th, Jake Brown's at 40. It's much closer in those bottom positions, and that's what's going to get duked out over the summer.
Yeah.
Casey Field is going to be – Casey Field, Orrin Larson, Ty Brewer, and Richie Champion, even Tilden Hooper at sitting there at 76,000, they're going to the NFR.
Nice.
Okay, those top five, we'll see them in December.
Can't wait.
Needs to be decided yet is 6 through 15. And when you see those dollar amounts so much closer at the bottom end of the qualifying realm, then some of the smaller purse rodeos will still have an impact on who makes it to the NFR.
You know, I'm just going to add this, and I comparative like NFL, right? Or any sport where you have that team coming, and this seems like it could happen, where you have those teams that get those leads, they have like one loss and they get in the playoffs, but then they lose. And I'm not saying that with Casey and these guys, but then the comparison is that you have someone like a Peebles that gets hot right at the right time, and then he comes in there and it's just like he doesn't stop. That's what it seems like it could happen this year because of these things.
Right, no, it's just like when the 10-6 Giants defeated the 16-0 Patriots, right? And that's one of the reasons why I'm a fan of a different format for the NFR. I'd like to see that someday. It's not my choice to make, but even though I know how important the average is at the NFR, it's that big $60,000 check, but just because you've got the highest average yards per rush or the highest average yards per pass doesn't mean you're the world champion. Okay.
Good point.
The world champion shows up on game day when the pressure is the highest.
Yep.
When Tiger's got to make the putt, right?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that best for the fans? When they show up on game day like that, that's what the fans like to see.
Man.
Yeah, absolutely. And all our other rodeos have a format like that.
Yep.
Calgary has a format like that. Houston has a format like that. San Antonio has a format like that. And so I'm hopeful that one day we'll see the wisdom of maybe having that type of format in Las Vegas as well, where the money is so great. But getting back to what Nevada was talking about.
Fingers crossed. Ago,
right. So you got Casey Fields sitting there number one. You got Ty Erickson sitting there number one. And that's all good. But we've seen Cody Hancock go from 15th to 1st. We saw Boyd Pinkshirt, Capro,
yeah,
great guy. Tyson Durfee. He went from 14th and won the world.
Yes.
That's the thing about Las Vegas's money. And we talked about this earlier, too, how it's so life-changing. It's not only life-changing, it's world record-changing. Because a guy like Tyson or a guy like Cody Hancock can come in at the bottom end and upset the apple cart. So, yes, while Casey can breathe easy, Ty Erickson can breathe easy, and people like that because they've done well and they've got enough money to make it to the NFR, that does not cinch them the world championship. And that's what makes the National Finals Rodeo so compelling, is those 10 rounds of duking it out and who gets hot. And you can have a situation like last year where Court Shear comes out in the bronc ride, arguably one of the greatest bronc riders ever, hasn't won a world championship yet, and he comes out and he just wins the first two go-rounds of the NFR last year.
Yeah,
and you're
that.
Sitting there going, oh, my gosh. He's won $52,000. Yeah, he's number two in the world. Court's finally going to get that gold buckle. But wait a second.
Yeah.
There's eight more rounds to go. And that's where I do appreciate the fact that it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yep.
100%.
What a mental game. Seriously.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, obviously, Cowboy Christmas is right around the corner. Is there any way you can set the stage for us of kind of what should we be looking at? What rodeos are, where the tipping point might come of what you're talking about right now? Not for the guys like Casey and whatnot, but
I think there's over 40 rodeos that take place over the 4th of July.
Yikes.
Okay. And so, first of all, it is grueling on the contestants. It's just absolutely grueling. And they all have to pick what rodeos they're going to hit. Some will go the southern route and go to Pecos the weekend before the 4th, hit Prescott, Arizona, and then maybe jump up. The farthest north they'll go is Greeley. And then others will go, no, I'm going to go the northern route, and I'm going to hit Cody, Wyoming. I'm going to hit St. Paul, Oregon. And so strategically, the contestant is going to look at his best path to win the most amount of money. All of them can't get to all 41 rodeos. So they'll strategize on which rodeos they're going to hit, and they'll enter for certain days, and then sometimes they'll get the days they request, sometimes they won't. So 7 to 10 days before, they might enter them all. They might enter all 41, okay? But they're not going to go to all 41, and they're going to see what they draw, and they're going to see when they draw up which nights they're supposed to compete, and then they'll put together a strategy of which rodeos they're going to go to and how they're going to get to them.
Boy, do these contestants look at the
the money, or are they looking also at the competition?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
they're looking at both. Okay. Absolutely. All of that comes into play. All of it comes into play. The cost of getting to these rodeos, man. Where am I? Where am I going to go? I mean, you know, the entry fees with the prize money that's up. And then if you're a rough stock rider, you're going to wait, you know, until 4 or 5 days before the rodeo starts to find out what you draw.
Yeah.
If you're going to Cody, Wyoming, and you draw and you draw Medicine Woman, I don't care what you draw anywhere else. If you draw up on the 3rd of July at Cody, Wyoming, and you've got Medicine Woman, you're going to Cody,
you're
Wyoming.
There. Yeah.
Right. So, but if you draw something that you think is the best you can be is 78 or 80 points, and it's going to take 82 or 83 to get a check, then you might not go to Cody.
Sure.
And you might say, hey, I got a better shot at St. Paul. Or, you know, I got a better shot at one of the other, you know, major 4th of July events. Maybe I've got, you know, a better shot at Prescott because of what I drew. So the timed event guys are going to really consider the road because they got to haul their horses or make sure they're going to be able to borrow or get mounted where they're going to go if they're going to fly to it. And so it Reno kicks off the summer. So what happens is everybody enters Reno, okay? And it really kicks off the summer run. And then the 4th of July week comes next, and coming out of the 4th of July, you're going to look at where you're at, but the rodeos that are left to go to are just too good not to go to them. Whether it's Salinas, whether it's Nampa, whether it's Ogden, Utah, you know, whether it's the other big one in Utah. Come on, Boyd.
Days of 47? Gosh,
Days of 47.
No. Yeah, well, Salt Lake City, but no, I'm talking about, come on. They sell out every year.
Not Spanish Fork.
Frontier does it. Hambone plays the music at it. Spanish Fork.
Yeah, that's what MV said. Yeah,
that's where Casey was.
But there's just so many great rodeos in July. And at the end of July, you got the daddy of them all. And it's probably the biggest, richest payout of the entire month of July. And that's Cheyenne. Mm. And when Cheyenne is over, everybody's going to look at that point and go, okay, where am I? If you're 35th in the world standings, I'm probably not going to see you in Dodge City or Sikeston. Randy and Andy probably aren't going to see you in Caldwell or Hermiston. You're probably going to go, you know what? It's time for me to go home, rest my horse up, get my money together to kick off 2020 at the 1st of October. If you're in the top 30 and you see a path that could get you to the NFR, you're still going to go. But the number of entries at rodeos will dwindle probably by 25 to 30% at the Dodge Cities, the Phillipsburgs, the Caldwells, the Hermistons, all those rodeos that happen after Cheyenne in the month of August, the Sikestons, as compared to what you're going to see at the entries in the month of July. Mm. And then in September, it's going to drop even more. Because in September, if you're 25th, you might still keep going, but it depends on how much ground you got to make up because there's only 30 days left. There's only so many rodeos that have enough prize money that can make an actual change to get you in the top 15. So then your numbers drop, the numbers of entries drop even further in September because guys are going, look, I can't make the finals. There's no sense in me, you know, beating up my body or breaking my bank account to go to these rodeos when there's not a plausible path for me to win enough. And what I'm going to do, because San Antonio and Houston limit their entries and take certain people, they're probably going to try to go out and hit the road running in October to get enough money, one, so they're one of the top five in the world in 2020. So when San Antonio and Houston start accepting entries, they have a possibility of making it that way. Right. So it all boils down to strategy.
You know, so we had Tallman on a few weeks ago, and supplementing to what you just said, he talked about kind of what these contestants go through within what you just talked about. In other words, like preparing their horse, their business basically. And just, man, kind of adding to when we were talking to Eldridge, you know, he's talking about, man, he goes, at some point you got to pull back because otherwise you're going to be a broke cowboy because Vegas is,
comes up quick.
Yeah. And just, man, all of a sudden it's there. And if you're not ready
that's the other thing. Let's say if you're 18th in the world, okay, September 1st, and the guys that are 17th, 16th, 15th, and 14th, they all know they got to, if they're 15th and 14th, they got to hold their spot. If you're 16th, 17th, and 18th, you got to go. And you can wear yourself out trying to make the NFR, and maybe you do, but you didn't. You don't have the luxury of, let's say, a Dakota who might end up in the top five, you know, by the 1st of September. He gets to go, you know what? I'm pulling back. And that's a luxury. Yeah. That's a luxury by having done well, you know, during the regular season. Those guys that have to beat their bodies and their horses up to get to the NFR in the month of September, they don't have that same liberty. And those miles, those... Chris LeDoux had a song that said, it's not the years, it's the miles. and those miles take their toll on you, and when you're fighting to the sudden death finish of September 30th to try to make it to Las Vegas.
Yeah, man. That was about 10 minutes of just some awesome information there, Boyd. That was fantastic.
Oh, well, thanks.
What else would you expect?
You know, when we had Mooney on, like, it just hearing your guys' voice and information and the algorithms coming out of your voice, it's beautiful. So,
bless you for that.
Yeah, I get kind of weird in emotions sometimes when we talk on there. Anyway, so.
Well, thank you. That means a lot.
So, obviously, you spoke of, you got a busy month ahead of you. And we'll probably lose contact of you because you're going to be at about a million rodeos. What's coming up? What's on kind of not – obviously, we know you're at the college final.
What's your next highlight down the road? One, yeah. Yep.
Well, the first one will be Cody, and it's their 100th year.
Jeez,
man. It's the 100th anniversary of the Buffalo Bill Cody Stampede. And so that's going to be a real big deal. They've got concerts in line with it. They've always had huge fireworks shows and parades, but – and again, I mean, I would just tell people that are fans of rodeo on a bucket list. Cody is at, right there at the base of Yellowstone National Park. And it is probably one of the most scenic places I go to in my entire career. It is gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. So I'm really looking forward to Cody. From there, then I go to Colorado Springs.
Nice.
Colorado Springs is the Pikes Peak or Bust Rodeo. And they have a shootout format there. So the guys that compete the first four performances are trying to advance to the Saturday night performance where, you know, we'll go, you know, the eight best contestants. We take two out of the first four, and then they come
and that
back,
was sanctioned this year, right, Boyd?
Right, and it was sanctioned last year.
Okay,
as well.
Okay, good.
So last year was the first year that
okay,
was sanctioned.
Good.
But, I'll also have Ann Bleicher. She's not a secretary. Ann is, I call her the production coordinator for the NFR because I could make all kinds of decisions, but she's the one that coordinates them and makes them happen, right?
We all need one of those. So,
yes, we do, and she's worth 10 times what we're able to pay her, but I'll have meetings with her at Colorado Springs. I'm also going to meet with Pat Christensen, your guys' boss and president of LDE, and George, the CEO of the PRCA. So I'll meet with them while I'm in Colorado Springs. Then I leave there and I go to the Snake River Stampede in Nampa, which is one of the 10 richest rodeos all year long. It's a Hall of Fame rodeo. It's six performances. It's there that I'll also do the voiceover for the college national finals for ESPNU. So once we're done Saturday night, Glott, who also works with us out there in Las Vegas, and Maria,
David,
they'll go and edit the show together, and then me and Andy Seiler will go to a studio in Boise and do the voiceover on the Sunday after Nampa. Then I'll go to, Sky High Stampede, Monta Vista, Colorado. It's Colorado's oldest outdoor rodeo. It's in the southern part of the state. It's at about 7,000 feet above sea level, so it's a really pretty area to be in the end of July. And so then from there to Dodge City and Sikeston, and the next thing you know, it's Las Vegas.
It is Las Vegas.
Meeting where they select all the, you know, they select all the personnel for the NFR. The livestock selection starts taking place at that time. And then in October, we'll have the pre-NFR meeting. In November, I'll have meetings with and rehearsals with the announcers and the judges and all kinds of stuff. And then the day before Thanksgiving, the week before Thanksgiving, I'll be in Las Vegas until it's over.
Well, hopefully we can find some turkey to feed you while you're here in Vegas.
Well, I am the turkey, but I'm not going to be on the plate, let's just put it that way. So
maybe they have some at Michael's at South Point.
Oh, man.
There you go.
Place is awesome.
There you go.
Well, this was great, Boyd. Having you on, this is some good information. And, yeah, you touched you don't want to say it, but, yeah, your vision of back in March definitely paid off. And I know Casey's smiling right now. So.
And we will bring Mr. Boyd Pulhemus back on after this summer run. He just went through with us. So,
yeah, we can start setting the stage for NFR, right? Yeah. And that'll be something we can start talking about.
We'll see. Yeah. I got to tell you, every day, I talked to Sean Davis for an hour this morning. I talked to Sean every day. I talked to Ann Bleicher every day. Marty Canavan, who works in our openings, probably at least twice a week. I talked to George Taylor at the PRCA at least three or four times a week. It's when I say it's all NFR all the time, I mean it, because there's just stuff I've got to get done, because, you know, everybody goes, are you going to keep announcing rodeos? I said, I got a promotion. I didn't win the lottery. Okay. So it does pay better to be the general manager of production than it does to announce the rodeo. But at the same time, I still have to pay my bills.
That's right.
I've got health insurance and what have you. And when July rolls around, the rodeo game is so busy that I'm not going to have a lot of time to pay attention to NFR stuff.
Yep.
And so I'm squeezing in Pat and George, you know, during Colorado Springs, but other than that, as Bo says, I'll be back. My answer to that is we'll see.
Well, we look forward to talking to you. You know, and we touched on this with Tallman about your responsibility of the NFR and realizing, kind of like the Super Bowl for NFL, where it sets the stage for everything else that trickles down. So we do know the responsibility you have, and obviously we got your back, and it's a big task, man.
If there's anything we can do, Boyd, to lighten your load,
Well, let me just say this, Bo. I'm talking to my mom here.
Sure, right? sure. Nice. Yeah.
I could not be happier with the support that I've received from the LVE staff. You guys, Michael Mack, Pat, you guys have said that statement privately as much as you could publicly, that you've got my back and you'll help me in every way. But there's a reason why there was a Sean Davis. Mm-hmm. And as knowledgeable as you guys are, and as much as you guys know, there's still stuff that only I can do.
Sure.
I can't farm it out. You know, I can't farm it out.
Yep.
It's stuff that, you know, ground rules. There's 28 pages of ground rules that are the absolute grease and oil inside the machine that is the National Finals Rodeo. And currently, every morning in Casper, I'm going through those line by line, you know, trying to figure out what we don't need, trying to figure out what we might add. And that's the kind of stuff I couldn't ask Bo Nevada, Pat, or Michael to do. As willing as you would be to try to attempt and help me to get those things done, those are things that somebody like a Boyd or a Sean has to make the decisions on.
Yes.
And so it's, you know, it's stuff like that, that, you know, if I could farm out the opening ceremonies to you guys, I would. But, there's decisions to be made about how long, what's going to be included, what the subject matter is going to be. And you guys got real jobs, too. There's a reason Pat has you employed. And, and you've got full-time jobs as well. And so it is a huge undertaking, and it's more work. I knew it was going to be a lot of work, but it's more work than I even dreamed it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, going back to the assistance from the Las Vegas event side of the table, I couldn't be happier with the support and the and the demeanor, and I think we're in a good spot. I'm just nervous as all get out because of two things. Number one, obviously this is my first time behind the wheel, and even with Sean there to help me and guide me, it still makes me nervous.
Yep.
Secondly, and this is something I think everybody in the rodeo industry knows, the National Finals Rodeo is the great white elephant. It is the one thing that draws the entire rodeo industry together.
Yep.
Whether you're a team roper or a bull rider, whether you're a small rodeo committee or a large rodeo committee, the role the NFR plays in our sport is the biggest, loudest voice of the entire industry. And And when you put that weight on somebody's shoulders, the industry is either going to succeed or fail based upon whether the NFR succeeds or fails. And I think to a certain extent that's largely true. And I'm not trying to overstate its importance. It just is that important. You know, you don't sleep really well at night. You know, you care about it. You worry about it. You think about it. You wake up in the middle of the night and make notes about it. And at any rate, I mean, I'm fully vested. I have complete confidence that I'll do the job and I'll do it well. But I will tell you, this is not an easy undertaking by any means.
Totally understand.
We love challenges.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If it was easy, it wouldn't be worth doing.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So.
Well, this is good, and I know you got to get back to work. So thank you for coming on the show, Boyd. This is
you bet. Thanks for having you guys. I appreciate it.
You're the best.
Did we get a little better since the last time you talked to us?
You don't have to comment. You can really keep that to yourself.
I'm gonna tell you that the first time we did this when I was in Houston, you guys felt a little awkward, okay? Like you didn't really know, but you were doing the best. And I can tell that the difference between number one and number seven, that you're much more comfortable in your own skin. You got this now.
Thanks, Mom.
I'm hoping that if I'm lucky enough to be retained, because this is the end. This is the last year of my contract with Las Vegas Events. If I'm lucky enough to be retained. That's how I'll feel, you know, 7.5 hours from now.
Yeah.
But for right now, I'm probably the same place you guys were when you did your first podcast.
Yep.
I'm feeling a little awkward, a little out of my natural realm, so to speak. And so I'm just hopeful that with time and repetition, it'll get more comfortable.
That's all I understand. Well, thank you. And thank you for that. And Bo, anything for Boyd?
Hey, enjoy the rest of the college national finals and root for UNLV.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Go Rebels. Absolutely. You know, me and Andy were talking last night. We had one of your girls out last night, and we were talking about how difficult it would have been to be a college student in Las Vegas.
Oh, my.
Right? 19 years old, 20 years old. Yeah, there's no distractions at all. There's nothing that's going to, you know, catch your eye and take you away from your school books. And,
was that so Taylor Rivera?
I don't remember who it was, but I do remember telling Andy that UNLV had slot machines in their library, and he bought it. He bought it. Hook, line, and sinker.
That's our computer.
That's right.
Oh man!
Perfect.
All right, guys.
Enjoy.
Get back after your day.
Give Mandy a big hug and kiss for us. All right, sir. Buddy. Thank you.
I'll do it.
Hi, this is Derek Stevens. I'm the owner and chief executive officer of the D Las Vegas, and this is NFR Extra.
Hi, I'm Caleb Bennett, and this is NFR Extra.
Follow the NFR Extra podcast by visiting nfrexperience.com, nfrextra.vegas, and now on Spotify.
Hi, I'm 23-time world champion cowboy Trevor Brazil, and you're listening to NFR Extra.
Hi, I'm Rusty Wright, and this is NFR Extra.
Hi, I'm world champion Jacob Scrawley, and you're listening to NFR Extra.
This Nevadan has been to the Thomas & Mack Center as a Wrangler NFR qualifier 5 times. And not only that, he's walked away with the average title twice. We're talking about steer wrestler Dakota Eldridge. And oh, by the way, this is his home state. A lot of things going on. He's got a lot to share about his passions, what goes on up there north with Reno Rodeo and everything else, and their 100th anniversary, and his healing of his injury back in 2018. And sounds like he's getting ready to go back and hopefully grab another average title and about a bulk gold buckle for that one as well.
There you go.
Episode 7, and we're joined by a Nevadan.
It's
Dakota Eldridge. Welcome to the show, Dakota.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, no problem. This is
this is exciting.
Yeah, this is good for us. I don't know about you, but for us it is.
Mr. Dakota Eldridge, we need to dig in and would like to ask you to tell us a little about your feeling that you had in 2017 when winning the steer wrestling event at Reno Rodeo, who is celebrating their 100th anniversary this year, and also you
top that with the all-around title. Tell us a little bit about that.
In your home state.
That's a feeling I don't think. What's that?
You won this in your home state, Dakota, right?
Yeah. You know, and I mean, that's the thing. Reno's, I mean, it's pretty much a hometown rodeo for me because Elko, you know, it's got a great little rodeo, but it's kind of had a hard time of year for me to work it with going to Calgary and stuff. So I've actually never been entered Elko's rodeo. So Reno's kind of my hometown rodeo, you know, or close to it. Hopefully this year I might be able to go to Elko because I didn't get into Calgary. But anyways, going back to that feeling of winning Reno and having all my family and friends down there, you know, that I grew up high school rodeoing with, and you know, my mom and dad and so much family, it's man, I'll never forget once I threw that steer down, the feeling and the crowd going wild, you know, and then getting all around title on top of it was pretty cool too, to have two sets of those spurs. So man, I'm excited for the 100th year, and can't wait to get back there and hopefully do a repeat.
Who back in 17, who was hazing for you?
I think Clayton Haas was. Nice. I can't remember if he you know, that time of year it seems like I think we were flying in and out, but I'm pretty sure Clayton Hayes for me. I think he was there for the short round.
Nice. Well,
I can't remember. Heck, that's one thing, my memory. There's some guys that can remember years and stuff. Me, it's like, you know, that's something some people are really fortunate with. Me, I don't know. I just kind of just keep rolling, and I'm like, wow, shoot, I had that steer last week, you know, but anyway, it's kind of funny that way.
God, that's crazy. You can remember a steer, but not remember your hazer.
Yeah.
Oh, that's too good. So obviously, you know, growing up here, you had been attending the Reno Rodeo. I mean, like, there's got to be some sort of special being a Nevadan and understanding kind of the Nevada's place in the rodeo business. I mean, we got a lot of land in between us, right, from Vegas and Reno, and there's not a lot that goes on there. However, up on the north side, there's a lot that goes on up there. How special is it for you? Kind of touch on it, but how special is you growing up and looking at this thing, like, not only have you won here, but you're a part of this? I mean, is there some, let's just call it that old battle-born Nevadan pride in you?
There you go.
Yeah, for sure. It's just, I mean, Nevada, it's such a, you know, it's a big state and a lot of country in between everybody, but it seemed like, you know, through high school rodeo and stuff, it was statewide. So, I mean, I know people from Vegas to Reno to Elko, Ely, you know, all over. And so it seems like Reno, you know, with the DFI and everything going on down there now, it's like, man, you go back there and you see everybody, and it's kind of like a, you know, class reunion pretty much. And it's just cool to see some of the people I rodeo with, you know, they're entered, or even just to see them and see where their lives have taken them, you know. Look, I was fortunate enough, you know, God steered me down this path, you know, and to be doing what I love. And but it's also neat to see other people I've rodeo with to see their successes, and whether they got a great job or whether they're doing another sport or whatever. So that's a pretty neat to just go back, kind of catch up with everybody.
Nice.
Reno, Las Vegas, we're all neighbors.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah,
exactly. This is a long sidewalk in between.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, okay. So here's some, obviously we're in the middle of the season here. How are you feeling about everything? I mean, where are you, health-wise, mind-wise, like, how are you feeling right now? I think you're, what are you sitting, 13th right now? Is that about where you're at, might be?
Yeah, I think 12th or 13th. You know, I mean, that, you know, after coming off an injury last year and stuff, you know, the winter was a little slow, but this spring, man, I've had good luck and been bulldogging good. Horse has been working good, so I'm just ready to get kicked off and get as much money as I can get won, you know, before August and September, and make sure I get the finals made early. That sure makes the rest of summer a little easier to be rodeoing, but you know, obviously I'd love to be number one, but at the same time I'm not, you know, down at the very bottom, so I feel like I'm in a good spot, and my knees dang sure feels a lot better, and got some great horses in the rig. We're going to take Clayton Haas has a young horse we're going to take that's doing really good. And then we'll take Rusty and Luke Franquino. He got hurt the other day, but fortunately he's going to send his horse out there with us. And so that, you know, that's one thing about Luke. He's got a great attitude. And he's a team player, you know. And we were kind of entered over the force, kind of expecting to have three horses in the rig. And, you know, unfortunately he got hurt. But, I mean, he's a good enough pal and great guy, so he's going to let us take his horse for a little bit over the fourth, and so that'll make it easy to be able to split those horses up and not put the miles on them as much as we would have to if we only had one or two.
You know, that's that's very well said, Dakota, because we did hear from one of the professional announcers that had kind of said the same thing, that you need not only the good mindset, but also to take care of yourself, of your livestock, and be prepared for, it is a long journey. And the road to the Wrangler NFR is a top of mind for all, but to have it all planned out and on paper, it's something that has been brought up several times to us, right?
Andy? Yeah, and I'd say I'm just thinking that once you get that taste, right, maybe you get a nice little check one of those nights during the NFR that you happen to be fortunate to make it. Yeah, that I'm sure coming out the next season, you just taste and you're sitting there multiplying 10 days and the hard work you got to put in. So I could imagine how you feel right now after coming off an injury.
Mr. Bob Tolman, he made it top of mind for us, right? In the interview that we did with him, that was something that he really hit on. So.
Yeah, Dakota, what he was talking about, and we're talking about another Nevada, right, Mr. Tolman?
Yeah.
He was just talking about your guys' preparation process and the checklist system you guys got to go through to keep your mind right, and literally of, like, not missing plane flights, food for the horse, whatever it is, it's vast, right? You know, basketball players just got to show up with their shorts, jerseys, and tennis shoes, and the basketball is provided, the refs show up, whatever, but your guys is it's a little bit more there's a little bit more details involved with traveling on the road as an athlete.
Yeah, for sure. You know, that's, I mean, I just got back in Elko here this week, and you know, I would like to go out and go scouting or go hiking around the mountains, but at the same time, it's like I got to tend to business, get the rig ready to go, get hay loaded, you know, get shavings packed, make sure my horses are in shape, make sure I got shoes on them. And, you know, it's a full-time job. Luckily, with my in-laws in California and my parents here in Nevada, it takes a whole team, you know.
Sure.
I mean, whether – 'cause by the time we get – you know, we rodeo year long or all year and take care of those horses day in, day out. You know, sometimes when I come home, you know, it's nice either to go hunting for a week or go snowmobiling for, you know, a few days or something. And boy, to have, like I said, my parents or in-laws take care of my horses and know they're in great hands.
Good hands.
It, it kind of gives me a break and a little relief from it, you know, but it's a big part of it. And, you know, mentally, that's the, in the back of your mind, you need to know that, hey, I've been practicing, I know my horses are in great shape. And I mean, you got to have all the checklists, like Bob was saying, you know, down. And that's something this day and age is, you know, worth a lot, to be able to have a strong attitude and a great mental mindset to go forward.
Very well said. Very well said, my friend. So listen, we're going to take you down memory lane a little bit, and we're going to ask you, what was it like riding down the tunnel at the Thomas and Mack the first year you were able to qualify for the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo?
You know, it was, I guess, walking down the tunnel for the grand entry. Is that?
Yeah. Right? First
just,
time. Just
the whole thing, yeah, man.
You know, I was, I just remember, I remember I wasn't nervous. I just seemed like another rodeo, you know. But then once we made that victory lap in the grand entry, then it kind of reality sunk in. I was like, holy cow, I'm not watching in the stands this year, you know. You know, I mean, it sunk in, and I was excited and just ready. But, you know, I really was not nervous when I run that steer. I would come in 15th that year, so I was first out in the steer wrestling. And all I remember, Sean Mulligan told me, he said, just make sure you can wiggle your toes and you're back in the box. I was like, what? He goes, well, if you can wiggle your toes, he said, you won't be nervous and locked up. And I was like,
that's a good okay. point.
So sure enough, I backed in there and I wiggled my toes and cracked the knot off. And I think I ended up, I think I split second and third in that round or something. But man, to get that first one out of the way like that is, and placing that first deer, man, it kind of starts you on a roll. And that made my first NFR a lot easier, because I've had other NFRs where it started slow, and man, I mean, it's so tough to not get down, but at the same time, it's like, man, you got to realize what you're there for. And every night you're running at 26,000 now, yep, you know, I mean, the first I made, I think it was 18,000, but still that was a ton of money back then. And that's our, you know, pretty much, I mean, it's great that a guy makes the finals and, you know, that's, you know, everybody's happy, but at the same time, at the end of the day, if you don't do good at Vegas, I mean, it doesn't pencil out to be a rodeo cowboy, you know.
Makes sense.
To me, you know, I mean, to be able to support my family and support just our way of lifestyle, buying nice horses and trying to keep horses underneath me, man, you need some cash behind you. And luckily I got great sponsors and I've had really good luck down there at the NFR, but that's a feeling that you'll never forget. And man, every year that you think, oh man, I might be tired or I'm sick of driving, you think about that feeling that it's like getting down there with the crowd and atmosphere. It's like, I'll go ahead and drive to this rodeo or stick it out a little longer and make sure I make it down there, you know.
Well, that's nice. So all right, we're talking about the NFR, talking about you healing up, feeling good. So where are you going next? What's your kind of your next 2 week schedule? Because obviously there's like three rodeos a day from now until the end of July. So what's your next 2 week schedule up until 4th of July? What does your schedule look like?
Actually, you know, which for me, it's kind of been different. This time of year, I was kind of a little low right here. Like a lot of guys will go to North Platte. I think it starts today. But really, I don't go anywhere till Pleasant Grove next Friday. And then from there, we'll go to Greeley and Reno. And then after the short round of Reno, then it kind of kicks off for me. This time of year, it's kind of like, I kind of like being home just right now, make sure I get my horses ready to go, rigs ready to go. You know, I've been in Canada before, Reno, and rodeoed for a couple weeks before, but to me, I guess I know the way I like the rodeo now, and I know my attitude's better when I show up to Reno and it's like, man, I'm ready to go. But if I'd been driving to Canada or flying back and forth, sometimes I'm kind of almost burnt out before the 4th of July, you know, or tired, and horses might be a little wore out. So to me, that's kind of my game plan, is kind of stay home, get recuperated, kind of do some stuff around the place here and practice with my dad and rope a little bit and kind of just get my mind ready for the, you know, craziness when it starts at Pleasant Grove. And then, like I said, then go to Greeley and Reno.
So how many tickets have you purchased for the Reno Rodeo this year?
Oh boy. I know, especially when we're up at the end of the rodeo, you know, but luckily I got enough friends and I usually get their companion passes and stuff, and sweet talk secretaries, they might give me a few extras.
Oh, that makes sense. Well, man, this is good, Dakota. Talking to Nevadans is pretty awesome. Like, we had Tallman on a couple weeks ago. This is good information, man. You got to put together. It's you know, obviously we watch you from afar. We watch the standings and everything. I mean, there's not a full on circuit that we get to watch every night, but you know, it's pretty cool, man. You got back from that injury and you're riding strong right now, and it sounds like you got your mind right too.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's the tough thing, you know, once you make the finals, it seems like it's a little easier and you got that confidence. Like, I know I can make the finals, but at the same time, it's not a given by any means, you know. And then, you know, luckily, you know, I made it 5 years in a row and then had the injury, but in the back of my mind, there's never a doubt that I'm not going to make it, but it's, you know, it comes up, you know, I mean, everybody's going to fight, you know, the negativity stuff mentally, you know, and that's just stuff you got to block out and just tell yourself, hey, I'm good enough. I know I'm gonna make it. And that's where I expect to be in December, because it wasn't that fun being down there taking care of horses and
sure.
being in the mountain business last year.
I can imagine that.
Hey, so I'm going to throw one out there at you. You know, obviously steer wrestling is your event. Is there a name out there right now in the steer wrestling event that may be a newcomer that everybody's kind of watching?
Ooh, as like young newcomer.
Yeah.
Like hasn't made the finals.
Yep.
You know who's been doing really good is Stetson Jorgensen. Man, he's done great at the jackpots, and I see him at the NFR this year. You know, there's a lot of good talent. Tucker Allen, he's a young kid that's traveling with us. He lives down by Luke and stuff. So since Luke got hurt, Tucker will just jump in with me and Clayton. But, I mean, there's a lot of good, you know, there's a bunch of young kids coming up. And I think the Bulldog, and it's one thing, it's getting tougher every year. You know, you see new guys coming in every year. So it's which is good. It's good. It's great competition, you know. But I think for this year, I think a guy I'd want to watch, Stetson Jorgensen, I think would be my money.
His name has popped up a few times, so we're happy that you did mention him.
Yeah, it's not the first time.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm. Well, and, you know, Cameron Mormon, he's been doing good. He's got a great horse he bought from Jake Reinhart. I think he bought him last year, you know, and I mean, that's the thing in this industry. It takes a great horse. And when guys are serious about it and they go and step up and buy a good horse, it makes their job that much easier. And, it makes the road, you know, it's not when you're out there and you're trying to compete on a horse that's, you know, not quite the right level. It sure makes your job a lot harder. So, you know, I'd dang sure watch out for him and, yeah, Stetson Jorgensen.
And watch out for Dakota Eldridge, too.
Yeah.
I've heard of that guy.
Well, this was good.
Yeah, no kidding.
This was a great talk, Dakota. Good luck out there. We're pulling for you, man. We hope to see you come December. Have fun in Reno.
We will be in Reno.
Yeah. And,
awesome. Well, I can't wait to get down there. It's gonna be exciting this year, like I said, with Hunter Gear, and it's going to be pretty cool.
Will you save me a ticket?
Yeah, you bet. I'm sure I got to save a few of them anyway.
Well,
look forward to seeing you.
Buy some, really.
Yeah.
Well, I can't wait to see you guys, and yeah, hopefully we'll be doing another podcast on winning Reno again or something.
There you go.
There you go, man.
There you go.
Well, good talking to you.
Cool.
Good luck on the road, and
stay healthy.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me on the show, and I think it's great. You know, great what a guy's doing to get these podcasts out there and getting more info out for younger generation and just anybody that's a rodeo fan.
That's the goal. Well, thank you very much, Dakota.
Perfect. You're the best. Talk to you soon.
Have a good day.
Thanks,
thank
Dakota.
Right. Bye.
Hi, I am Benny Butler, and you're listening to NFR Extra.
Vegas awaits, so book your hotel now at nfrexperience.com.
Hi, I am Louis Messina, and you listen to NFR Extra.
Hi, I'm world champion Ryder Wright, and you're listening to NFR Extra.
Hi, I'm Tyler Pearson, world champion steer wrestler, and you're listening to NFR Extra.
Envy, you want to talk about a man that has a lot of personality? Here's a gentleman, George Combs, who started his career in 2015, dedicated himself to the year-round role as general manager of Reno Rodeo, which is, and you say, the fourth largest rodeo in North America. And they are celebrating their 100-year anniversary. What a conversation this is going to be.
Yeah, you got to back up. He's got to kind of live up to the 99 years prior to that, or let's just say the 95 years that he was not a part of it. So that's pretty cool. I can't even imagine the stories that are shared within the business side of that. It's pretty amazing. Yeah, no, this is going to be great.
He has a good grasp on what's going on in Reno. Very appreciative of all of his volunteers. So let's take a listen. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Mr. George Combs.
It's great to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Exciting
times, but busy times.
Slightly.
We love to hear that.
We're getting ready for our 100 years, 100 years of Reno Rodeo, and it's a big damn deal in Reno. And the people and the community is behind us, and we're really excited to get this thing kicked off next week. And it takes a lot of work and a lot of volunteers. I have over 1,000 volunteers that help put this rodeo together, and we're really excited to get it off the ground. We got it, you know, the rodeo is a staple here in Reno, and we're excited to bring some new things for our fans, and our ticket sales are through the roof. It's really been a great, great year for Reno Rodeo.
So how many more volunteers did you have to bring on, this being a 100-year anniversary?
Yeah.
We've been in that 900 to 1,000 each year. We really didn't bring anybody more on. What we did was reach back and got some of our experienced past presidents that we've kind of put out to pasture, and we've got them back involved and made them step up and help us. And they've done that wonderfully. They've been so excited to be part of it again and be able to come and help. And we had one of our oldest past presidents. He was actually president of the Reno Rodeo in 1981, named Clint Wells.
Oh, my.
And we put him as chairman of our 100-year committee. So all the stuff that we've done special for 100 years is went through his committee. And he is just... You know, he just lives and breathes Reno Rodeo. And that's the cool thing. This being my fifth rodeo in Reno, coming from where I came from, it's so exciting the amount of passion they have for this rodeo. And you know, just not the volunteers, but the people in the community.
Sure,
it's an awesome, awesome deal.
Without letting any big secrets out of the bag, are you able to give us any details as far as what a fan can expect this year versus maybe last year?
Well, count on lots of people. We're going to be
just a bigger party. We've
always been flirting. Yeah, it's going to be a big party. Basic rodeo is going to be the same as we've had. And we kick off with a concert, and then we have an Extreme Bulls event, and then 9 nights of rodeo. And that part of it's all the same pretty much as we've done in the past. That's our tradition and that's our history. We do have, you know, we're bringing in John Harrison this year as our barrel man.
Nice.
We got Cody Webster and Dusty Tuckness fighting bulls. We got the one and only Bob Tallman on the microphone along with Wayne Brooks. We've got a Hall of Fame set up here, and it really works well. And the people, you know, the vendors, the sponsors, everybody is just really behind it this year going forward. And we've got a few little things that I can't talk about that are secrets that we're going to be doing, for the 100 years, but we're excited.
Tell us a little bit about the merchandise you have out there for the 100 year anniversary.
Yeah. Well, every year we do commemorative buckles for Reno Rodeo, and we sell 500 numbered buckles, and we sell a couple hundred unnumbered buckles every year, and they're pretty much sold before we really start selling. But our partnership with Montana Silversmith is super, super strong, and we brought them on board about 4 years ago and become our buckle sponsor and jewelry sponsor. And I can tell you right now that I'm breathing fire that they get the other another 100 buckles here before next week, because we've sold over 1,200 buckles already this year.
Wow!
So that's just in the buckles. That doesn't even count any of the merchandise and all that stuff. So it's going to be a very, very big year for all commemorative stuff. Even our poster, our rodeo posters, they're selling like hotcakes. I truly believe that not only our stands are going to be sold out, but I think all our merchandise and all that stuff is going to be sold out also.
What's your total attendance? Like what do you guys usually expect out of that 10 days?
This year, we're going to probably be about 95,000 for the 10 days of the rodeo. That's just the rodeo, but overall on the grounds, we'll be well over 200,000 people. Over the 11 days, including the concert.
Nice.
Beautiful.
Because we have all the day events. We have the BFI, you know, the BFI week is here. They're roping. We've got 5 days of roping this year, you know. They got the junior qualifier, starting off with it, and then we take a break for a day, and then they have the one and only BFI on Monday, and then we do the Desert Showdown and all those on Tuesday, Wednesday, and then the All Women's Roping on Thursday. So, and then this year we're doing a junior rodeo on Friday and Saturday in the indoor arena. So,
well, we're versed in the junior circuit over here. So what about talent wise, concert? You guys always have some pretty good talent come up there and play up north, north of Nevada.
Tyler Farr and I can't think of the other guy's name.
We're not trying to put you on the spot. We know you have a lot going on.
You got me there.
So
Chris Jansen.
There you go.
Chris Jansen and Tyler Farr.
Yeah.
Chris Jansen and Tyler Farr.
Beautiful.
Yeah, Chris Jansen's big time. Yeah, we've had Farr at
And Chris Jansen. He was one of the first we ever had at Cowboy Fan Fest. Yeah. So it was big.
Definitely are those.
Yeah.
So
pretty excited.
One of the things we were Boyd was on the show, and we were talking. He was kind of setting the stage for Cowboy Christmas and all the things going on for the contestants. And one thing that he made very clear is that Reno is the rodeo that you want to be at. That's where everyone's going to. It's this kind of culmination of the new added dollars that created this kind of momentum coming out of the American and Houston. That there's not much in between. There's rodeos in between, but none with these big paychecks, right? And now everyone's eyeing Reno as kind of the start, the kickoff, and gets everything going. So I feel like we're missing out not being down there, actually, after talking to Boyd and George here.
I truly believe that. I believe if you look at the past years and look at who comes through Reno and who wins Reno, that's a stepping stone for them to get to the NFR. And they almost have to come through Reno for that. And it is the kickoff to the Cowboy Christmas over the 4th of July run. And us being the week before that starts, and it gives them a huge momentum boost, and it gives them a confidence boost. They come in here and win Reno, then they're off for they're going to have a good summer, and that's one of the things that's been really, really cool about Reno being when it is in June.
Nice. Anything else that? What are other things? Do you have other events that go on? Obviously Reno is
other than the BFI. I mean,
yeah. What else goes on?
There's a lot that's led up to this rodeo.
Yeah. I mean, we've already started. We had a big kickoff party in town last Saturday. We had already had our annual golf tournament, which was two weeks ago on Saturday. We start off, today. Our queen contest starts today. And they're actually on radio this morning and doing all their stuff today. And judging starts today. Horsemanship's tomorrow. Our coronation dinner's on Friday. Then we go right into – we shift the cattle drive. We have a cattle drive that starts on Sunday. It's sold out. It's been sold out for over a year.
Woo. Nice.
And they'll be leaving Sunday morning. And then they come back to town. They bring the cattle to town on Thursday about noonish. So there's 60 people out there being cowboys for the week, and it looks like the weather's going to be great for them. Highs in the 80s next week, and a little overcast, so that'll be really good for them. We've seen it all directions. A couple years ago, they had 4 inches of snow when they woke up one morning. So, it looks like we're going to get good weather for them. There's all kinds of events leading up to the rodeo, and then, like I said, the concerts next Wednesday, and then we have drill team competition for 2 days in the indoor arena during the daytime, then the extreme bulls at night, rodeo at night, and then the BFI on Sunday. We have a kids rodeo. Mutton busting's really big in Reno. We put 120 kids in mutton busting in the rodeo, and then we have a mutton busting championship on Sunday. And we take another 100 kids for that.
Wow.
And the 120 that we enter, we do it in February. We have a one-day deal. It's a minute and a half deal. It's a minute and 7 seconds. We took 120 kids on an online registration.
Jeez.
And yeah, it's ridiculous how fast these people, and we got it set up to where it's an online sign up. And it took, a minute, 7 seconds this year to fill it.
Nice.
But then also on Sunday, we have special kids rodeo. We have 3 performances of that in the afternoon on Sunday. And that's really a touching deal to be able to do these special kids rodeo and have all these special needs children here and to do that with. And then the rest of it's just roping in the junior rodeo for 2 days. It's a timed event junior rodeo, doing all the timed events. And then also on the final Saturday, we got a Lita Scott barrel race, which is an American qualifier. So that'll be in the outdoor arena on the final Saturday with the junior rodeo going on in the indoor arena. Yep. So, yes, lots of events. Plus, we have a carnival, huge, huge carnival and food court. We have a Jack Daniels tent, Coors tent. We really utilize every square inch of 40 acres to put this thing together.
How exciting, my friend. How exciting. And you know, Las Vegas, Reno, you guys were great partners. We live and breathe it all year long. We'll be up there to cheer you on. I think Pat Christensen and myself will be attending the Association of Rodeo Committees, their deal that we have up there with the meeting and the rollout, and we'll be attending the event that first weekend. The 19th is, I think, Extreme Bulls, correct? And then 20th and
20th.
20th
is Extreme Bulls.
Okay, perfect. Yep.
Yep.
So we will all there, and man, this is super exciting for all of us.
Yeah, 100 years.
Well, we're excited to have you all come. We love to have our partners all come and visit us at this time of the year, and it's awesome to have everybody come and visit. So we're excited to have you, and we're excited to get this thing going.
Well, it's a great area of our state. I mean, it's beautiful up there. Yeah. So I could only imagine the backdrop.
Countdown has begun for you a long time ago, but for us, we are a week out.
That's the cool part about this is and having this job, because truthfully, it's not a job; it's a lifestyle. If you ever treat this as a job, you're disappointed because you work way too hard.
Yeah.
But if you treat it as a lifestyle, you don't have a job. It's fun, and you really enjoy, and I truly enjoy what I do. I'm excited to see the people and see the people be happy, and it's a great event for this, and it is a legacy event of Reno, yes, and Northern Nevada. I mean, it is a big deal here. So
that is awesome. Well, thank you for taking a little time. Obviously, you know, just like all the other gentlemen we spoke to on this podcast today, you guys are busy. You guys got a lot going on, so don't want to hold you up too much. This is fantastic. I mean, 100 years is no joke.
George, thank you for taking the time, my friend.
Hey, no problem. I appreciate it. Boyd, are you still on there?
No,
we had
to cut him off.
No, we had to kick him out.
I was going to tell him I'm coming to Nampa. He better be ready because I'm going to come and heckle him in Nampa.
Just don't talk to NFR. He's all locked in for rodeo announcing. He said for the month of July.
He's at the college national finals right now. So he and Andy Seiler are partnered up, and they have, I think, through Saturday are the finals there. So he's got a long week ahead of him.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Well. Thank you very much.
All righty.
Yeah.
Well, if you guys need anything, hey, Bo, if you need anything from me because I don't think I've seen you on a list. Nobody told me anybody's coming for extra nights or whatever.
I didn't know I made a list.
Let me know what.
Usually it's not a good one.
I know, but you need to let me know. I don't want to get caught with not taking care of Pat, so let me know what Pat's schedule is.
You bet, sir. Thank you.
I don't care about you. You know the game. You know how to get in the back gate.
So. I hear you on that, George.
Right.
You guys are the best.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Good afternoon. My name is Cotton Rosser from Marysville, California. Welcome to NFR Extra.
Howdy, I'm Bob Tallman, and this is NFR Extra.
Follow the NFR Extra podcast by visiting nfrexperience.com, nfrextra.vegas, and now on Spotify, Google Play, and SoundCloud.
Hi there, I'm Frank Thompson from Cheyenne Frontier Days, and you are listening to NFR Extra.
Hi, I'm Haley Kinsel, and you're listening to NFR Extra.
Well, Bo, that's it. This is it for episode 7. And that one, this was loaded. A lot of good stuff.
How exciting.
Yeah. I can't get each episode, we're learning more and more. Myself, for sure, kind of understanding this road to the NFR and the passion that it takes, not just from the contestants, but announcers, general managers, sponsors, everyone that's involved.
We want to give a big thank you to our guest on this week's show, Mr. Boyd Pohemus, General Manager of Production for the Wrangler NFR, Mr. Consistent Dakota Eldridge, 5-time NFR, and also the General Manager of Reno Rodeo, 100-year anniversary, George Combs. Join us in 2 weeks when Roger Mooney hits the show for Bo's Bowl.
Looking forward to that. We've already had Mr. Mooney on, and you know, when he's lax and loose and just chatting.
How many times have we referenced him in the recent shows?
Quite a bit. You know, he talked a lot, and I think as we're starting to find out, Mooney's moving up the ladder, mm-hmm. right? And you got the heavy hitters above him, and he's starting to get in the mix. And well, tune in, you'll see what he has to say.
Gotta make it out to Vegas, where the big boys roam, with the Rovers and the Racers and the Bulls and the Browns, and the ladies in the skin-tight Wranglers and the cowboy hats. And it don't get